You know, Teresa and I have both remarked in recent days, it seems we're both getting more forgetful these days. I honestly don't know how many times I've lost my keys in the last 6 months, but it's more than a few. In fact, I lost one. We had to buy new keys. So anyway, lost stuff. I'm getting forgetful. But there is one thing for sure that I don't ever want to forget. And that is God's goodness to me. I don't ever want to forget that. But it is possible to forget God. It really is. In fact, that's exactly what God warned the Israelites about as he delivered them into the promised land. He warned them about that. He said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. But remember the Lord your God. He said it repeatedly. But they forgot anyway. Often. And so do we. That's why this text today in Ecclesiastes is so, so very important. From beginning to end in our walk through Ecclesiastes, the teacher has emphasized that putting one foot in the grave is the way to plant the other foot on the path of life. And this morning we're going to continue in that same vein, being reminded once again about the brevity of life and our own mortality. Well, Lord willing, this Thursday I'll be also celebrating a birthday like Jason is today. But you know, life goes so fast, right? I mean, when I consider how old I am now, my age, it just doesn't seem possible. The number doesn't make sense. I know it's hard for you two because I don't look a day over 50, but I am actually turning 64. 64. How can that be? It just blows my mind. It's like I blinked and my life went by, especially the last 20 years. I think of that often, almost every time I look at this little paperweight that I have in my office. I've had it for 30-some years. It says, Luke loves Daddy. And it seems like just yesterday, my son Lucas was sitting on my lap, and now he could pick me up and carry me over his head. Just so, so fast. It just happens like that. He's 35 now. And we need to recognize that life goes by so quickly that we have to pause and make sure we're living the way we should. And that's today what the teacher does. He gets a hold of us, and he takes you by the hand, he takes me by the hand, and he walks us right into, are you ready? You know where he takes us? He takes us right into a nursing home. That's what he does. And he confronts you. It's a little more of a confrontation the younger you are. He confronts you with the reality of what's coming right around the corner for each of us. And then he looks you right in the eye and he says, in light of this, before that day comes, how do you think you should be living? How should you be living? Very, very important question. So it doesn't matter today whether you're young or you're old, whether you're Jason, you're young, or you're old like me, or anywhere in between, it doesn't matter. The teacher has something to say to us today to guide our lives. So I hope you'll open your Bible, turn on your device, follow along. We're nearing the end of our study, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. And we're going to today go through chapter 12, verse 8. Chapter 11, 7. Through chapter 12, verse 8. Now, again, as you look at this particular passage, in my NIV translation, it has a heading, Remember Your Creator While You're Young. And there are two predominant imperatives here. The first is to rejoice, to enjoy life. The second is to remember God. So that's what we're going to go over today, these two very important things. And I want you to just keep in mind what he's helping us understand is how to find the path of life. That's been his journey all along. How do we find the path of life? How do we truly experience the abundant life that God intends for us? So let's dive into this study together. Because he says, in order to truly enjoy life, you have to remember your Creator before it's too late. So look at verse 7, chapter 11. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. So the first thing that we note here is that life is sweet, savor it while you can. It's sweet, savor it while you can. Some of you may have thought that the teacher, the writer of Ecclesiastes, was a pessimist. He's not a pessimist. He's a realist. And as he's looked for life, the path of life in all these directions, he's come to the conclusion that life is indeed good when you find the path to that life that God intends. In fact, he says here, it's sweet. It's very sweet. We should enjoy it the way we enjoy a beautiful sunny day or the sweetness of honey. Whenever, however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. So let me ask you, are you enjoying the years right now? Are you enjoying today? Because I would say that for many people, we don't do that. We take life for granted. And we postpone joy for a later time, when the circumstances will be aligned perfectly, that we can finally enter into joy. You know, every Monday we're like, oh, Friday is so far off. I got to get to Friday. When you get my age or even younger, you're like, well, retirement, it's going to be out there. And we put it out there. We put life off. We put joy off. It's always out into the future. And the teacher's saying, whoa, time out. Stop doing that. Stop wasting time. Right now, whatever day you're in, whatever days God gives you, enjoy them. Rejoice in the Lord. Right now, today. Now, why is this so important? Well, look at verse 8b. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Amen. Any amens? Everything to come is meaningless. Days of darkness, they're going to be many. If you're a little bit older, you're smiling and like, yeah. And the younger one's like, really? Not going to happen to me. You know, it is tragic, isn't it? You watch little children. It's a sad thing to see that innocence and the vibrancy, the light of childhood give way to the evil that is in the world. The reality of evil in the world, and all the challenges and difficulties of adulting, of being an adult. I mean, how many times do we say, oh, I want to be a kid again, so I don't want to deal with all of this. He's saying, it's going to come, so enjoy life now. Enjoy it now. And that's why he now directs his comments precisely on young people. Look at verse 9. Be happy, young man. And now you're saying, well, he's talking to somebody else. Let me just say that it's a rather relative expression. It doesn't mean if you're 20 or under 30. It's more generic than that. So if you feel young, it's you. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. And you're like, that's actually in the Bible? He's actually commanding young people, particularly, to enjoy life and to follow their heart and the desires that they see in front of them, the things that they see. Pursue that, he's saying. So why would he be doing this? Because young people don't do that, right? You don't count your days when you're young. You don't count your days because they seem countless. What's the point? So he's saying when you're young, that's when you need to be especially mindful of this, that you need to rejoice today because, guess what, in the flash of lightning, it's going to be too late. So enjoy it now. So if you're here today and you're young, I would just say, listen to what he's saying. Don't wait to enjoy life until you graduate, until you get a good job, until you grow up, whatever that is, I'd like to know. Don't wait. He's speaking to you. He's learning from experience. And he's saying, how many ever days God gives you, enjoy them. Life is sweet. Savor it right now. Well, now you may say, Bob, this is getting a little scary. I mean, he's talking here about following your own heart and your desires. Is he just giving a license? Do whatever you want? Of course not. Of course he's not. Verse 9 at the end, he says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. And you're saying, Bob, that's crazy. He's saying, go ahead and enjoy it so I can judge you. No, God's not saying that. He's not tempering the joy in any way. He's directing the joy to where it is most full and complete. He does not want us or anyone to pursue joys that are going to end in sorrow and pain. He's wanting us to pursue and experience those joys that are fulfilling and going to go forward and not hurt us in the long run. So that's essentially what he's saying here. The pathway to joy is remembering God, remember that he's the one who gives you the gifts. And when you're in harmony with God, walking on that path in harmony with him, enjoy everything that's before you. That's what he's saying. Verse 10, now he's still speaking to young people. So then, banish anxiety from your heart, cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. I like that. Cast off the troubles of your body. I try to do that every morning when I wake up, but I'm too old, so I can't do it quite so readily. It takes a little while for my back to get limbered up. Got to do some stretches. You know, when you're young, enjoy it. You just cast off those worries and, you know, enjoy now. That's essentially what he's saying. You don't have to deal with those things that are coming later right now. Deal with right now. And life is sweet. You don't even know if you'll have it later. So enjoy it right now. Pursue joy while you can. Let's circle back just for a minute. I want to go back to this statement in the end of verse 9 where he talked about judgment. You know, there's some scholars that believe he's actually talking about God is going to judge us for not enjoying his gifts. It makes sense, doesn't it? If you remember, the teacher has already reminded us that all good gifts that bring us joy came from whom? From God, right? I mean, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 24, you may remember. He said, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? It all comes from him. So it makes sense. We're commanded to enjoy it. He gave it to us for our enjoyment. It makes sense that he would judge us for not enjoying it. You might think of it this way. Now, Teresa and I, we had kind of a bad week. Because of our age and because of health concerns that we both have, compromised immunity, particularly for Teresa, and because of the growing number of cases of COVID and the increasing hospitalizations from COVID in Wisconsin particularly, we made the very, very painful decision to cancel our trip to Wisconsin next week to be with our kids and grandkids to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. That was hard to do. That was painful. It was painful. We put it off for several days, almost till the end of our window, being able to cancel with no penalty. But we finally did it. We canceled our hotel reservation. That was so hard to do. But that was nothing compared to the excruciating pain of taking out the Christmas gifts we had bought for our grandchildren and unwrapping them and returning them to the store. They were just too big and too bulky to consider mailing. So we had to return them. We're going to either order them and have them delivered to their home, or we'll have our daughter pick them up for us. But it was a bad week. Tears were shed. But you're already beginning to think toward Thanksgiving, of course, and Christmas. It's hard not to. So imagine with me that you are, maybe it isn't even a stretch, you're selecting, you're purchasing the perfect gift for your child or your grandchild. And you're sparing no expense. You're considering what they really want and what they truly need, and you are going to do everything you can. You're buying that gift. You've brought it home now, and you're wrapping it. And as you're wrapping it, in your eyes, you can already see the excitement on their face when they're tearing the paper open that you're now taping so neatly. You can hear the squeals, the excitement, the joy, the happiness that they have. And you're envisioning all the hours of them enjoying this gift that you so perfectly selected for them. But then Christmas morning comes, Christmas Eve. And that's not what happens. And they tear open the paper and they're expected, and you see their shoulders droop and you see them drop and you see disappointment instead of excitement. And then you watch as they just slide it back under the tree and walk away. No parent wants that. You purchased that gift for them to enjoy. It had nothing to do with you. It was for them. And they didn't enjoy it. So you're hurt. You're saddened. I wonder sometimes if that's how God feels. When he gives us such a wonderful life and all the blessings, all the gifts, all the good stuff. And we're like, no, I don't want this life. I want a different life. I want some different stuff. And the teacher here is saying, wake up, everybody. Every day you have, enjoy it, because it's a gift from God. And it's going to be gone in an instant. So enjoy it while you can. So this is the first point he's making, is life is sweet, but it's short. So enjoy it while you can. And as you're enjoying it, there's another very important thing that you need to do, and this is what he begins to address in chapter 12, and that is this issue of remembering. Remembering. Look at verse 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember. Remember your Maker now, he tells us, before it's too late. Remember your Maker before it's too late. It happens quickly. The sweet light of youth quickly fades into the fog of old age. You know, you might even reach a point, sadly, tragically, as some do, where your memory fades and you can't remember hardly anything anymore. He specifically says your Creator here, not just God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. My friends, to truly enjoy life, to savor it, you have to remember your Creator. If you remember him before it's too late. What does that mean? To remember your Maker, your Creator, is to continually be mindful of what God, your Creator, our Creator, has done for you, and to act according to that knowledge. So you have this mindset, this worldview where you recognize I am the creation, God is the Creator, he's my Maker, and that directs your life course. To remember your Creator is to make him central in your life. He's central in your life, and your focus is on fulfilling his purpose for you, because he's your Maker, and carrying out his will for you. So how does the teacher reinforce this? How does he drive this home? You know what he does? This is where he takes us into the nursing home. And he gives one of the most poignant, one of the most graphic descriptions of old age that you will ever find. So if you're young here today and you don't know what it's like, you haven't considered, you don't have grandparents, pay attention. Because he's going to paint a picture here that is very realistic of what it's like, how difficult it is as age advances, and why it is so important to enjoy life when you're young and to remember your Creator before it's too late. So he uses the word before. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, and then you see in the next phrase, before, and he does that three or four times. Before, before, before. Essentially, he's saying, do it before it's too late, because he talks about trouble, he talks about the problems of old age, and then he talks about death. Before trouble comes, and then he fleshes out that trouble as being difficulty in old age, we'll get into that, and then ultimately before you die. Remember him before it's too late. So let's walk through this, kind of go through it quickly. First of all, he said in the second part of verse 1, remember your creator before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Again, I said earlier, there are days of darkness, as the teacher told us. Another way of saying that is there's times of trouble. And they're going to come. Sometimes they come when we're younger. But it makes perfect sense, right? The longer you live, the more likelihood there is that you'll have trouble and maybe more trouble. So he's saying to us, remember your creator before all that trouble overwhelms you to the point where you don't remember him anymore. So if you're young here today, again, I'm not being negative. I'm being exactly what the teacher is, and that's realistic. If you're young, I just want to tell you, if you don't know this, life is short and life is very hard. It's good. God is good. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm being realistic. Just as the teacher is, life is short and it is very hard. And so he's saying, hey, remember your creator before that trouble really starts overwhelming you. Because the older you get, your body starts failing, your mind starts failing, everything starts wearing out, and we're going to get into that in detail in just a moment. And then you'll say to yourself, you know what, it's not so exciting anymore. It's essentially what he says here. I'm not really looking forward to the future so much. When you're young, everything spreads out in front of you as this wide expanse. When you're older, it shrinks down to just a tiny little sliver. That's what he's trying to say. And he uses two very graphic pictures, metaphors, to help us understand this. The first is a storm. It says, remember your creator before the darkness of old age overwhelms you. Old age describes it in two ways. First of all, as I mentioned, if you look in verse 2, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. Remember him before then. We've all been through storms in life. Days, sometimes longer periods of time when the clouds grow so dark they turn day to night and then they pound rain down in buckets and the wind blows. We have to hunker down. And it continues for an extended period of time. We think it's clearing, and then it comes back. We can't see the sun, don't see the stars. This happens literally in our lives and also metaphorically. There are storms that come. And contrast that dark, stormy day with a beautiful, sunny day at the beach. I mean, we all love to go to the beach, almost all of us. Who doesn't want to be on the beach on a sunny day? He's essentially saying when you're young, life is a sunny beach. It's a sunny day at the beach. When you get older, guess what? The storms start rolling in. Life gets really tough. So enjoy it while the sun's shining. That's essentially his point. Now, he uses another metaphor that I want to spend a little more time on in verses 3, 4, and 5. If you look at the beginning of verse 3, he says, when the keepers, remember, before the sun and the light and so forth, essentially, when the keepers of the house tremble. So now, I want you to think of it this way, not as a storm, but think of advancing age as an old house that's kind of falling apart. To me, that's a perfect picture. Like, I already got holes in the roof, you know? I mean, the shingles are gone, and it's like, perfect. So this is what he's saying. It's like an old house. I've owned two old Victorian homes, redid them all. You've heard of a money pit before? I mean, when you get old, that's what happens. Where does all our old people's money go, right? Taking care of the house. This house, not your house. And so he describes old age, advancing years, as a house that's falling down, it's wearing out. It's very graphic. Now, not everyone agrees because this is kind of metaphorical language here, but I'm going to walk through it and give you a perspective, an interpretation that many hold to, but I'm not adamant about it, but it does fit the context and makes sense. So that's about all I will say. So let's just walk through it real quickly. He's talking again now. Remember your Creator before it's too late. Now, remember, before old age comes and kind of comes like a storm, now he's saying before old age comes like a house that's fallen down. And let's watch and see all the ways he describes that. The keepers of the house tremble. What's the keepers of the house? It's your hands. Your hands start to tremble. You get the shakes, you know. You can't do what you wanted to do, you used to do. The strong man stoops. He begins to stoop. What are the strong man? It's the foundation of the house. It's your legs, right? I used to go to Panera a couple times a week. I haven't done it since the pandemic started. And there was one particular gentleman that came there every day I was there. I know he was 90. He had said so. And he had the most crooked leg I've ever seen. He walked with the cane, and his leg was literally bent like this. And that's what happens. He wasn't born with it like that. But the strong man begins to stoop. The grinders, I love this one. The grinders cease and they are few. What do you think that is? Teeth. Your teeth are falling out. Especially in that day when modern dentistry couldn't help you. Those looking through the windows grow dim. That's your eyes. Cataracts, macular degeneration, general loss of sight. All this is what happens to people when they get old. Everything starts wearing out. The doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, so you can't hear very well anymore. When men rise up at the sound of the birds, all their songs grow faint. There's one thing that old people really struggle with, and that is sleep. So many people struggle with insomnia and difficulty sleeping, or sometimes they sleep way too long. That's what he's alluding to here. All the difficulties in old age. When men are afraid of heights and the dangers of the streets. Roads in that day, even today, but particularly in that day over in Palestine, often were very steep, and they were rutted, and they were very dangerous. You could easily fall down, hurt yourself. You don't want to go up on the roof of your house where you get the cool of the evening, as many people did, right? That's a scary thing to do now, because any fall, even a small fall, can be very, very serious. So again, he's describing all the ways that this house, our temple, is wearing out. And then he said, when the almond tree blossoms. Apparently almond trees, when they're blossoming from a distance, are shaped kind of a little bit like a head, and they're very white. So hair begins to turn gray and even white, or in some cases, it just goes away. And the grasshopper drags himself along and no desire is stirred. I love that image. Grasshoppers usually don't drag themselves along. What do? They jump. And so when you see a grasshopper kind of going along, that's a vivid picture of old age. People bent over, supported by something else, a cane or some kind of a walker or something. He's painting this picture and he's saying, remember your Creator in your youth before old age overwhelms you in this way, because it's so difficult when that happens. The house is deteriorating right before our eyes. Elderly people often have one setback after another, like dominoes begin to fall and break their hip. Or in Mike Krysik's case, their back. They get pneumonia. Their children have problems. Their grandchildren have problems. They begin to lose friends and family members who die. They begin to have financial difficulties. If they live long. The list is endless of all the things that they have to deal with. When I was talking to Esther the other day and talking about Mike and how hard it was, his fall, and she made an interesting observation. I think a very good one, describing how hard it was, and she said this very clearly. She said, it's not a very pretty picture. It's not. And that's exactly his point. It's not a pretty picture. It's coming right around the corner. So remember your Creator. Remember, he made you. Put him central in your life. Live for him now while you can, before everything starts falling apart. Before you can't even remember what it was like to know God and live for him. Remember now. Because eventually the house falls down. The text says, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about in the streets. So the house collapses. But my, oh my, I'm so glad to see that, aren't you? We had wondered earlier in his teaching, does he even believe in an afterlife? But here, what did he say? His what? Eternal home. What we were singing about earlier. Hallelujah. We have that hope. But he's realistic about this life and how short it is. So he said, remember your Creator in your youth before old age overwhelms you. And now, the second thing he's going to say, before death overtakes you. Verse 6. Remember him before, there it is again, before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Before, there it is again, remember him before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Very, very vivid image again. We're not going to explain all of it. Let me just describe it this way. I think it's pretty clear. Life is depicted as light emanating from a very precious lamp. That lamp is suspended by a silver cord. The lamp is filled with oil. The oil is burning brightly. That's life. Suddenly, the silver cord is severed. And the lamp falls and shatters on the floor. And the oil flows out onto the floor, and the flame is extinguished. The light is gone. And the teacher is saying, hey, that's a picture. Your life is a precious gift from God. He's given it to you, and he's going to take it back one day. So remember him now as your Creator before that day comes. Remember him now. He turns again to all of us. This applies to all of us, but especially to those who are young. And he says, remember your Creator before it's too late. And one final time, his voice booms these words that he's repeated over and over through his teaching in verse 8. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. It's all just a vapor. It's going to be gone in an instant. And so again, do you see what he's saying? As he's nearing the end of his teaching, he's saying, hey, life is good. I've checked, I've looked everywhere. It's good, but it's very short. So savor it, enjoy it, especially in the days of your youth. And as you're doing that, remember your Creator before it's too late. Remember him. Put him first in your life. Live for him. Allow him to direct your path. So, as we draw to a close here today, let me ask this question. How do we apply this? How do we put this into practice in our lives? Let me quickly go through three things that I'd like to share with you. Three things that we can do. Number one, embrace the brevity of life. Stop pretending you'll live forever. Go ahead and go to the gym, you know, eat your good food, you know, eat a good diet. I'm not saying that, but let's just recognize life is brief. Let's stop fighting that. I love what the English pastor and poet John Donne did. He did something very, very unusual. He bought a casket before he needed it, and he brought it home. And guess where he put it? In his bedroom. Creepy. And even more creepy is some nights he would actually sleep in it. Now, why in the world would you do that? He did it very intentionally for a very specific purpose. He wanted to be mindful every day of his own mortality and to remember the life of sin to which he had died. So the application is, don't rush off to the monument store and buy a casket or something and bring it home. The point is, as he's repeatedly said, placing one foot in the grave is the way to put the other foot on the path of life. And as long as we're in denial about our mortality, we're not really living. So whatever you need to do at your age or stage of life to focus on your brevity of life, do that, because it's coming right around the corner. Number two, enjoy the life and the many gifts God has given you today. Not next week or tomorrow, today, on this cloudy, rainy day, enjoy the day today. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, a man is about as happy as he has made up his mind to be. And I think that's what Jonathan Edwards did. He had many resolutions in his life, and I'll share five of them with you. Resolve, number one, to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Number two, resolve, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Number three, resolve to live with all my might while I live. Number four, resolve never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. And then number five, resolve that I will do whatsoever I think to be most glorifying to God and most for my own good, profit, and pleasure. I've mentioned this along the way in this study, that this study has had a big impact on me. And that's one of the biggest impacts. It's like, Bob, what in the world are you waiting for? Why are you so negative? What, you have a good life. I've got a fantastic wife, a wonderful home. I've got blessings beyond comprehension. And what I've tended to do, like many people, is I see all these thorns and I miss all the roses. But ultimately, my friends, it's not about my sheer willpower or yours to just say, I'm going to enjoy life. That's not it. There's a source for joy. You know what it is? It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this. I told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. It's by remembering Jesus and keeping his commandments that our joy is complete, my friends. To enjoy the life and the many gifts God has given you. The life you have, not the one you wish you had. The life you have today by remembering Jesus and keeping his commands. And then number three, very practical. Here's something I would say, not from directly out of the text, but I believe it's a great application. Number three, share and show the transforming love of Jesus to your elderly neighbors. It's always difficult to not feel isolated and lonely when you're older, but it's magnified tenfold at least now during COVID. My friends, just to reach out and listen, just to express interest in a neighbor that's elderly, whatever that means, and go, you know, share a meal. Yesterday, Teresa made these amazing biscuits. Oh, my word, 2 cups of butter, And she's like, I'm going to take some of these to the neighbor. Like, really? No, I was all for it. I was full. wraps them up, takes them over to our elderly neighbor. She came back and said, oh, man, she was excited. So the lady texts, wow, these are great. Just simple things, my friends. Show the love of Jesus. Specifically now, as we're reminded of how difficult it is in advancing years, to target and think about those kind of people first. Say, God, how can I help them? How can I show your love to them today, this week? And just go do it. Well, we have one more week in this study. Next week, we're going to kind of wrap things up in the teacher's conclusion of the matter. But it's been a remarkable journey. I hope that God has blessed you as he has me. But this morning, I'd like you to join me in prayer, just asking God today to specifically tune our hearts to joy. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness to us as we've gathered in your name, seeking you, you have been with us. You have spoken to us. Father, forgive us for spurning your gifts. Forgive me for that, Father. Forgive us for taking life for granted. Forgive us, O God, for failing to acknowledge you as our Creator. God, today would you come by your Spirit's power and remind us in a powerful way that you put us here for a short time, for a specific purpose, to glorify you, to represent you, and to enjoy this good gift you've given us, the life here and now. And as we know, Lord, as we age, as we get older, we know that outwardly we're wearing out, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We thank you for that. So come, Holy Spirit, minister in our hearts. Put your joy in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.